Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Resilient Leaders Podcast, where this podcast exists because we believe that resilience and leadership is not just a good idea. It's absolutely required. I'm J.R. Briggs, founder of Kairos Partnerships, an organization that helps leaders like you overcome your unique leadership challenges by equipping you to lead with clarity, confidence, and consistency. Leaders, you know that voice in your head that you hear? You know, the one that's constantly talking to you and giving you advice and reminding you of all those things and bringing up questions and sometimes even second-guessing your leadership decisions. Yeah, I'm talking about that voice. I want you to be assured you're not crazy. We all have that voice. Some of it may be louder, but we all have that voice. For some of us, our inner voice can be kind and thoughtful and helpful. And for others of us, it can be annoying and critical and downright cruel. Now, that voice in your head is kind of like your inner coach. And here's the thing, you can't fire that inner coach and get a new one. You're just going to have to learn to have an appropriate relationship with it. This is hard, and I'll be vulnerable with you here. I have a very harsh inner critic. I always have my entire life, just my disposition on that. No one will be harder on me than me. And so I've got to learn, like many of you all, to harness, to have a healthy relationship with that inner voice. Now, just recently, I read a book that I think is valuable for leaders and for Resilient Leaders podcast listeners. It was valuable for me, and that's probably why I picked it up initially, but it's called Chatter by Ethan Cross. Now, he starts by defining what chatter is. The author defines it this way. Chatter consists of the cyclical negative thoughts and emotions that turn our singular capacity for introspection into a curse rather than a blessing, where that inner voice goes to overthinking and second-guessing and adding stress rather than being helpful. What's fascinating is he said that we spend one-third to one-half of our waking life not living in the present. We talk to ourselves and we listen to what we say, but we're also often listening to what our voice is saying about the past, therefore it's regret, or about the future, which is often fear or second-guessing decisions we might need to make. Here's the other thing. This was fascinating to me. He said, our verbal stream of thought is so industrious that according to one study, we internally talk to ourselves at a rate equivalent of speaking 4,000 words per minute out loud. To put this in perspective, he said, that's like listening to 320 State of the Union addresses each day. Think about that. 320 State of the Union addresses each day. That's a lot of words, and that can be exhausting. So the key to beating chatter isn't to stop talking to yourself. That's impossible. The challenge is to figure out how to do it more effectively and appropriately, hence the word harness. And Ethan Cross labeled something that was helpful for me. He said, we're all prone to either psychological immersion or psychological distance, where we reflect on our emotional experiences. The tendency is we have shapes and patterns of our inner voice, but fortunately, so does our ability to consciously alter those perspectives. Let me break that down. He said that there are two groups of people. There are immersers and distancers when it comes to emotional reflection. Immersers are people who view events from a first-person perspective, who get trapped in their emotions, and the verbal flood gets released in their head. In these accounts, describing people's streams of thoughts, they tend to zero in on the hurt, and they attempt to go inside and work through the internal conversations, which just lead to more negative feelings. So people who are immersers immerse themselves and get really close and just sink themselves into the hurt that they feel. Maybe you're like that. Or maybe you're on the other side where you're a distancer. A distancer goes broad and is able to pull out. They don't get tangled in the emotional weeds, but they're able to separate themselves. That was really helpful. So whether you're a distancer or whether you're an immerser, I'm really grateful that Ethan Cross developed some tools to implement. Because you may be sitting here thinking, okay, this is great, JR, but what exactly can I do to train my brain and harness my mind, that inner voice, that inner coach? Well, here are the 12 things that I gleaned from the book in terms of some ridiculously practical and specific tools to help. Number one, he said, use distanced talk. Distanced self-talk says this, like things like, as crazy as it might sound, saying your own name in your head, addressing yourself as if you were speaking to someone else. It's called illyism. It's the term for talking to oneself in the third person. So instead of saying like, what am I feeling? Just asking, what is Jason feeling today? Assuming your name is Jason. Just by inserting your name in the third person can be really, really helpful to create just a little bit of distance and make it objective so you're not so immersed and tangled in the emotional weeds. Number two, to engage in mental time travel. Engage in mental time travel. You can benefit from mentally time traveling into the future. Studies show that when people are going through a difficult experience, just asking them to imagine how they would feel 10 years from now rather than tomorrow can be a remarkably effective way of putting their experience in perspective. So saying, will this matter 10 years from now? Even will this matter 10 weeks or 10 months from now can be very, very helpful. The third tool he said was journal. You don't have to journal. I'm a fan of journaling, but he said write expressively, especially when you're hurt or angry or overwhelmed or fearful. Just being able to write it out creates some distance of getting it from your head to your hand to the paper. And so journaling can be incredibly, incredibly helpful. Number four, remember at all times we have agency and choices. And it's important when things are difficult or fearful or overwhelming or hurtful or regretful, is to ask ourselves this question. Is this a challenge or is this a threat? Is this a challenge or is this a threat? Because it's easy to be overwhelmed and think, oh, this is just a threat, and we go into survival mode and panic mode and defensive mode. But what if it's a challenge or maybe even an opportunity for us to overcome? Number five, he said, is appropriately seek out physical touch. He said, appropriate affectionate touch is so potent that one set of studies found that a mere one second of contact on the shoulder led people with low self-esteem to be less anxious and to feel more connected to others. Again, appropriate touch can be so helpful. Number six, perform a ritual. Rituals can be important and help us to meet our goals. And engaging in a ritual before meals helped women who struggle to eat healthier consume fewer calories than women who try to just be mindful of their eating. I'm a big fan of the military phrase, win the morning, win the day. I've got a lot of morning habits and rituals that are very helpful for me to make sure that that chatter stays to a minimum and I'm able to stay engaged. Number seven, imagine advising a friend. What advice would you give a friend in this situation? That helps with distancing. Number eight, broaden your perspective. Now, when it comes to Star Trek, there was Captain Kirk and then there was Spock, right? Captain Kirk was all emotion, very little head. Spock was all head and no emotion. So one supporting each other, we can offer the comfort of Kirk and the intellect of Spock. So what is our head feel, what does our heart feel, can be important. Number nine, normalize your experience. Our minds freak out when we become convinced that we're the only ones to experience this particular situation, that nobody else has experienced this and nobody knows how you feel, but that's not the case. So if we can normalize this and realize this is a part of the normal human experience, it can help us feel less defensive and less anxious. Number 10, minimize passive social media use. Studies have shown that envy peaks among people the more they're exposed to social media, even if they aren't commenting or posting, even if all they're doing is scrolling and reading what other people are doing. And so that voice can be calmed during intense seasons where my inner voice goes to an unhealthy level. I just realize, you know what? I need to take a break from social media for a while. And it just calms the inner voice in my head. Number 11 is to create order in your environment. Great tennis player, Rafael Nadal. He said, what I battle hardest to do in a tennis match is to quiet the voices in my head. It's not the opponent, it's the voices in his head. And so thinking through that, if you seek compensation for chaos in one area, our minds, by creating order in another, the physical environment, it doesn't have to have anything to do with the specific issue that's throwing off your inner voice, which is why imposing order on our environments is so useful. It's almost always easy to do as well. And the last one, number 12, is to increase your exposure to green spaces. He said, simply taking walks through nature, a nature area with trees, can help calm your inner voice. I think we can all sense that, but research continues to show that. Even secondhand exposure to the natural world through photographs and videos can also restore attentional resources for us. Now, I know that's a lot of practical steps. In fact, you may want to go through and rewind this episode and listen to those 12 again. But I want to encourage you, don't try all 12. Don't try to do all of them at once. Just pick one or two that you can try for the next week or so. You can begin to train your inner voice to help you as a leader. Because the more we can harness our inner voice, the better we can be as leaders to remain calm, to make wise decisions, and to speak kindly and confidently to ourselves, which will help us be more resilient leaders. Well, thanks for listening. This podcast would not happen without my friend, the gifted Joel Limbowen at On a Limb Productions. Thinking about starting the podcast, or you need a video created and produced for your organization, Joel does great work. It's why I use him all the time. Check out the link on his website, onalimproductions.com. Or you can visit the show notes. Leaders, be faithful, available, teachable, and hungry. Keep leaning in and learning. And remember, your inner voice will never go away. You can't fire that inner voice coach, but we need to learn to cultivate a healthy and appropriate relationship with it. So learn to harness that inner voice for good. Have a great week.